Hello and welcome. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Heather.
And this is Confidence Through Cabaret. And we are here today to conduct a wonderful interview. A wonderful interview with wonderful friends of the Confidence Through Cabaret community. That is the fantastic Patrick Alawa and Andy O of the incredible Digital Technopreneur podcast. Oh my goodness.
Hello. Welcome.
That was awesome.
We're happy to be here. This is awesome. We do like
Thank
this.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm truly excited. Me and Andy had a conversation last night and we're like, all right, so we have a podcast and, you know, in 30 minutes, we have to be ready. We need to go into a meeting with Ryan and Head. We've been excited about this. So, yes.
Yes. Oh, thank you. We're so excited to have you. And we had a great time talking with you on the podcast a little while back on your guys' site. And it was so much fun. And I think we said at the end of that podcast, we were like, we've got to do something.
Yes, absolutely. Now we're excited. We're launching the 22nd. So they'll have all the podcasts will be out there. So hopefully you guys get to see yourselves on there. Hopefully you guys, you know, like what you see. Which yes. we did, so we're excited about that.
22nd of December.
22nd, a couple days, so coming up hot.
That is so exciting. Well, tell us a little bit about what you've been up to. What have you guys been bringing out? What's coming up for us?
Oh man, I guess I'll take it. I mean, so the 22nd's our official launch. We're putting all our podcasts out there, all our guests. They'll be chopped up in different sectionals as well. But we really just want to give people a taste of what we're all about. You know, DT is all about, digital technopreneurship is all about, you know, hey, if you're literally starting from scratch or have to restart or have to, you know, basically build your business all the way again, that, you know, there are resources out there. We've been through a lot of those things. I know it's an emotional journey. With, you know, for yourself, your family sometimes, where do I start? You know, what do I do when this happens? So we want to give up all our resources to be like, hey, and not only are we here for you, but there's this whole community's here for you. You know, you never know who you're talking to. And I think you're only as powerful as the resources around you. It's kind of like the Henry Ford method a little bit, but we love new people. We love meeting and introducing ourselves to the community. And I just feel like, you know, I think myself and Patrick feel like, hey, if we had some of these tools when we were, you know, restarting or starting from scratch, that this is kind of the things that what we would want to know when we were doing it. So we're not holding back at all. And hey, we're starting literally from our show from, you know, square one too. So we are in the process with everyone. We're super happy to do it.
Amazing. And we'll find out a little bit more about your kind of your history and what you know how this all started in just a second, but I just want to reinforce that, because when our Instagram was not letting us do anything, you guys, it was your community. I just went in there and went, what do I do? And then and it's fixed. It just, I haven't even had time to update it, but so it's really great. There's no silly questions, or you know, you just ask what you want, and it's very, I found it very, very supportive. So so we'll give you all the details about how you can find these guys online and be involved in their community.
I think it's so important. I mean, a lot of times it's like, hey, I know what brings me comfort is knowing, you know, I'm probably one or two phone calls away from an answer. I just need to do something I need to take care of, you know, because I know the worst thing for me is when I'm just like, you know, I'm doing something I know that is not the biggest task for someone, but I spend 8 hours doing something I'm just not good at because I don't have, you know, the right location to find the right answers. And I think, you know, I don't like wasting time, you know. I'd rather be good at what I'm good at and kind of have the people around to, you know, do the other things really well too. Yeah. You know, that's what I'm kind of about.
Love that. That's a great way to do it. That is a great way to do it. And the thing is now, because we have all these online communities and we have all these collaborations and co-creations, it's so much easier to be able to do that.
It's been too much fun being able to connect with different communities. And The idea of communities before, it was forums. You know, we were used to forums. That's what it used to be before. Now it's changed to this idea of, well, let's go away from just text. Let's have it in a positioning where you can actually see the people in the community. And that's what Facebook kind of gravitated towards and having community. So yes, being able, and I would throw a plug that Andy always kind of brings in every time, and I still haven't played with it yet, meetups. Being able to have meetups in communities. And so, yes, communities are a great way to just kind of expand your world right now. So I love it. I'm loving it.
And yeah. I think that's important with the social aspects of everything, like, you know, just even just collaborating with you guys. Like, you guys are resources that I did not have before. So now that, you know, I don't, you know, when it comes to social media, using it to get in arenas and spaces that are not your communities, I think is super powerful. I mean, as much as, you know, social media can have its ways and things like that, it also allows you to open up communities and networks that you maybe weren't a part of it, or maybe not introduced yet prior. So now that we have, you know, each other, and, you know, we get to collaborate on things, and you guys get to be my superpower with what you guys do too. And I just love having more, you know, bullets in the chambers as we're talking about. I think that's, you know, really cool to be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been really loving this, and it's been really interesting. I mean, when we talked to you a couple of weeks back, you know, we got to hear a little bit about you both as entrepreneurs. Like, how did you both get invested in and get involved in this? In this side of it, how did you? You know, what was the journey? How did you start?
Oof. Patrick,
you're right. Simple question. Small. Yeah. Very little. Okay. Yeah.
Because it seems like it's really easy for you guys, and everybody watching will go, oh yeah, that seems really easy, but it is important to understand the backstory.
It is because, okay, one, me and Andy, we've known each other for a while, so on that part it's easy for us to communicate, so it allows our communications to be very fluid, very open. And as far as understanding each other, it kind of helps to catch up on subtle cues. You know, if there are things that I need support with and I need help with, right away he catches up on it, and the same way vice versa, he catches up on it. So when this idea of working on a podcast came up, it was an accident. It wasn't like I woke up one morning and said, hey, you know what, I think I'm going to just start a podcast. No, it didn't actually start out that way. Quite frankly, it started out a different way with a blog that I wrote, and someone commenting on the blog, you know, saying how easy it is for people that are, that may have gotten some level of success writing blogs about how to get started. And it's not, you know, the same in the current scenario with the pandemic and everything like that, saying a year ago, 5 years ago, it was easier. This year, it's not. And so I thought to myself, you know what, I know an area that I'm going to start from scratch again was, you know what, let me start with creating a new, completely new content. And podcasting was 3 months ago, I knew nothing about podcasting. That's
the reality. So we reposted your podcast that we did together in our community.
Yeah.
And quite a few people said, these guys are great at podcasting. They're amazing interviewers. They really have it all figured out and all prepared. And so you've got everybody fooled if you didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, because they say to us, you're playing a musical instrument and you don't know how to play it. And we're saying yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we did do that.
I mean, what's funny is, like, you know, I've done podcasts and things before, but it's not about doing them, it's about finding your voice and your rhythm with it.
Right.
And, you know, so, I mean, I did a brewery tour podcast when the people were always right next to me. So I could, you know, it was different picking up cues that were maybe like a, you know, a shoulder and eye inflection compared to doing that now in Zoom with a completely different topic. So, like, you know, I do, as much as I have experience doing podcasts, doing it remotely and through Zoom with a different topic is its own little can of worms too. And then now you have to deal with, you know, is the software, is it hitting correctly, you know, with different sound, you know, is, you know, is the sound working out, is it linking up with Facebook, like all that stuff makes
wait, we're supposed to do all that?
So it depends on what you're using, right?
Neither of us have no idea how to do that.
So yeah, I mean, it all depends on all that stuff that you need for your own self, and it brings its own different can of worms, but it's also its own journey, which makes it fun.
What's interesting about that Andy just mentioned right now is, you know, with this whole process. Now, Andy had, you know, some experience working with podcasts and things like that. For me, it was completely brand new, which is why I had to reach out to him and say, hey, Andy, this is an idea that I wanted to just give this podcast in a try. I need the mentorship and guidance as we're going through it. And I can't do this by myself. You got to help me. You got to step into this game. And he did. He stepped right into it. And we even what is it? I want to say we've gone through maybe 12 episodes in, right. A little over, I want to say 12 episodes in, and we still have to, like, give ourselves the buffer of, like, okay, Facebook is going to screw this thing up, so we're going to try to, we're going to try to make the mistake first before we go live. And so, so we still go through that process. And I keep saying to myself, you know what, the next episode, we'll get this, where it's like, from the start, we get it right. But it's still that same way. And so it's, we're just learning through it as we're going. And that's what's exciting about it, is you just have to just go and let the chips fall where they may, so to speak.
Right. Like, I mean, I've had previous podcasts where we did probably like 2 hours minimum of just, hey, like, let's find a voice. Right. Like, let's find what works. And me and Patrick, I want to say we just did the first episode. We just went. Which I was like, okay.
What other way can you show up more authentically than doing it that way? You know, just doing it, you know, that's, the, you know, myself and Heather have said quite a few times, you know, try to be perfectly imperfect. You know, we show up as we mean to kind of continue. And it's like, did we do the video perfect the first time round? No, we didn't do it perfect first time round.
Did we do it the last time round? No.
No, but it's up there. And that's the important thing. I feel part of the big thing of this, and I'm wondering if you've kind of had that moment of as well. There's always that moment of like, if I don't do this perfect, if I don't do this right, I can't get it, it won't work, it won't be the thing. And then you post that perfectly imperfect version of yourself and you go, and then things all just kind of slot into place. Things start to build. That's that moment of, you know, that's that moment of energy and creation, you know. What's been your favorite kind of mistake, you know, the mistake that actually led to you like learning something huge about what you wanted to do?
Ooh, are you talking about with DT?
Everything now. I'm asking big questions, but pretending they're tiny.
Wait, can we set one ground rule? No major therapy issues here.
Oh, yes. Like,
what issues?
Yeah. No major therapy issues.
No. What's the biggest mistake?
I am not qualified.
Patrick, you got one on deck?
Something more that I would say where it's like I stopped trying to make things perfect would be really honestly going through this podcast scenario.
Yeah.
Is for so long I've been so used to the idea that I want to get everything to fit in this perfect mold before it's brought out to the world. And you know, Andy just mentioned we're going to be having our podcast officially released on the 22nd, and most people prep up before that timeline. Most people are like, okay, so we are going to start a podcast. Yeah. So what do we need to do? We just said, you know what, let's just get started. That was the most imperfect decision we ever made, or I've made, that I think of more recently, that it was just like, it worked out perfectly. Right. It was a very imperfect decision where we just said, we didn't figure out, okay, how does it go out to the public? How do we do this? How do we do that? And we're just like, you know what? Let's just start. We'll figure it out as we go. And that's what we did. We just decided to start. And that changed I'm a Virgo. Perfection comes in. Our proper genetics is perfection comes inside of it. So we always have to deliver perfection every time. So being able to do this over the past few months has been like, now I go into different situations now thinking like, oh, it doesn't even have to be perfect. Right. I just need to know what the plan ideally sort of looks like and just go right into it. And it's been changing my business interactions more recently, actually, in that same ideology of doesn't have to be perfect. I'm just going to go out there and I'll see how it works kind of a thing. So yeah, I that would be a more recent one.
Yeah.
Where that applies into.
Yeah. And that applies to so much more than podcasts. That just applies to whatever it is that you want to be doing.
Mm-hmm. No, and then, you know, I'm sorry. So you talked about mistakes, and I mean, that gave me like, you know, a couple minutes to kind of realize what the heck I wanted to say. But I realize the way my brain works is like, I like, you know, I'm an Aries, so it's ready, fire, aim. And it's like, you know, sometimes you fire and you're off target per se, but it allows, like, I'm really good at resetting and really good at, okay, that's where the target should be. Let's make this work. And I think I enjoyed that process a lot. And it allows me to like kind of, finish the puzzle that I don't know exists yet. I kind of jump into things like, okay, there's the puzzle. There it is. Now let's make the parts fit. And I enjoy doing that. And I enjoy doing that, not on the fly, but like with enough information to make everything kind of be its own idea rather than coming to a situation with a specific ending in mind. I think that's what makes what I'm trying to get across happen more than often, is because there's a natural creative vibe towards it now. Now, when you're collaborating with someone, it's like, hey, let's build this together. And it's no longer my idea, which means that there's already agreement when things are created, which allows there to not have a reason for debate because it's made together, if that makes sense. So, I mean, I jump into things with the idea of, hey, let's have some background, let's have some education about it, but let's not necessarily have a specific ending to this. This is not for me to decide. And I think letting go of that has made things a lot more comfortable for me and the people I work with, because, hey, let's build together in something that, you know, we can both have stake into, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a limitation if you set your ending. You know, there is having an idea of where you're headed and where and what you're trying to achieve, but that's very different than knowing that, you know, this is when it's complete and this is when we know that it's done, because you miss out on the whole journey and actually, I mean, we've certainly found the same thing in our community, is, you know, it's changed shapes so many times. And now we bake in our community. I don't know how that happened. We never thought that. It was not on the business plan. Not at all.
We recently didn't catch our baking videos. Please watch the baking videos. They are about 80 minutes long. They are fully mad. And there are more coming tomorrow.
You guys are like baking like sweets and baking.
Well, no, we started out. Somebody said that they felt that what made them feel confident. And we'll ask you the same question in a second. Yeah. But somebody, we asked our community members, you know, where in your life do you feel confident? What makes you feel good? And somebody said baking, and they put a picture of their baking. And I said, oh, have you ever made a gingerbread house? It's coming up to Christmas. And then they said, no, but I have, but it never goes well. And then other people said, yeah, I want to try that. I've always wanted to. And now we somehow had and put up pictures, which was, see, and to your point, Andy, if we'd have had a plan and we'd have stuck to the plan and we'd have had this, you know, the ending in mind, then we never would have had any room for flow, which
and
is...
I absolutely just don't know how it happened. Definitely don't know how it happened. Nobody at all went on there and literally said, you know what we should do? We should do the entire gingerbread baking thing.
Nobody did say that, did they?
Nobody did say that at all, did they, Heather? Nobody said that.
Maybe.
Suddenly, there I am.
But you guys know. You know I'm an extrovert. You know I don't even think it. I just say it, and then I go, oh, probably shouldn't have said that. So I love that, you're both talking about, we did a challenge November, which was about pursuing your passion project. And we were talking about, you know, kind of making a plan and you know, really engaging with what you're passionate about. But what you guys have said really brings that to life about, you know, just all the learning along the way and you know, just going for it anyway, even if you don't know how it's going to work. And I know, Patrick, we've talked to you before when we very first met. Yeah. And we hadn't met Andy yet, and you said, I needed to bring Andy with me to do the podcast.
Yeah, it was a definite, you know, I looked in regards to, okay, and that is one thing that it was a mistake that I made in the past. Mm. I was too prideful in the past that I never asked for help. And then, you know, kind of going through the a lot of failures, then I realized maybe I should stop looking at that scenario, because I started my and I'm very grateful with the team that I have right now around me within the business, because they started reaching out like, hey, do you need help with this? Do you need help with that? And I was like, oh wait, it's that easy to just say yes. And they'll do it, and someone will help out. And I kind of transitioning over to this scenario for the podcast, it was I knew I needed help from the start. I don't have to try. I don't have to try to do it all by myself. And Andy just mentioned that it's, you find out what you're good at, maintain that, and then seek out the other components to build what you need to be able to kind of build on. And he's also always a big, he's always a big believer in facilitating, just find people and facilitate. So that way you can actually build all together. I was not like that. Right. I'm not the team builder guy. He's always a team builder guy, but I was like, to do this, I need the team builder guy to teach me how to build a team. And so therein lies the aha.
How do I ask for help when you realize that moment? Because a lot of people struggle to get to that point and they kind of go, I don't know. How did you reckon with your pride? I mean, like I've certainly done it. Maybe once, if I'm sort of being honest.
I do it every day. Yeah, how did you do that?
For me, it's understanding what I'm good at and what I'm not. And I really want to stay in my lane here, and I respect what I don't know. And it goes to time management. Like, I will be more frustrated doing stuff I don't know. And because I love being creative and I love seeing my world and I love facilitating and I love seeing things come in fruition. And, you know, I love what I do and I love it a lot. So let me, like, I always will need to be in that space to do it. And I feel my frustration level and my anxiety level start to rise higher and higher as I start to venture out of my lane. I learned that just it's not healthy for me to be in a space where I'm not sure what I'm doing. I'm unconfident, and then it's not going to happen the way I see things. So let me start to pass that off now. There's some wonderful people around me, and let them work. Let them have a part of your life too, and collaborate on stuff. Because I think collaboration is just amazing. It's kind of, I'm still learning.
Yeah, no, it truly is. Because I think for myself, it was in a way, failure. It's I put it in two frame, in a frame of there is failing and then there's failure. Mm-hmm. Failure is when you don't learn from something. Failing is when you know, it's that you do something and it didn't go out right. And then you're like, okay, now you start learning from it. So I did a lot of failing with regards to not having, you know, I'd always, you know, had some of the greatest, great minds around me. And, you know, till today, you know, I have this conversation with my partner, and she goes through this idea every time. She's like, you know, if you're doing what you're doing now, 5 years ago, you would have been somewhere completely different. Because we've been building out our business for years, and I've had the right people always around me. Right. I just didn't work with them in the right way because of pride. And so it just took a lot of failing to realize. I was like, oh, maybe I should stop being this guy that knows everything and think I can do everything, because it's a challenge. I'm like, yes, I can do this. Mm-hmm. No, you can't do everything. You can do it, but you can't do it into like the caliber that someone else can. And so I started learning how to, you know, unplug a little bit of that pride. And yes, it was a big pride that I had to kind of chisel off a little bit of. And so it really helped. It really helped me mentally get through, you know, a lot of that stuff as well. It really did help me in that sense. Yeah.
Amazing.
Advice. It is good advice. I think it's, you know, you hear these things like, just accept help or ask for help. Mm-hmm. And we all understand it and go, yeah, that sounds easy. But it's not.
It's not. It really isn't.
No.
You know?
I think if we could just quickly end this one and restart the new one, that would be amazing. Sure. We shall join you again shortly.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. So have everybody got the new link?
Yep, I'll just click on it.
Fabulous. Yep. Cool. I will speak to you in a sec.
All right, sounds good.
Here we go. Okay, welcome back to the pod. We are back with the wonderful Andy and Patrick. Thank you so much for joining us again today. We really appreciate it. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. So we have some intriguing questions for you.
Well, before we do that, can we we just find out? So we have done, we mentioned before that we had done a Pursuing Your Passion Project challenge. We also did what was called All Caps Challenge, which we talked to you about before, which was your character avatar persona. And one of the things we talked about was having something that informs your confidence, that makes you feel more confident. So when I'm in my workspace, it's a business suit and makeup and so on. My pink lipstick is always my confidence go-to. Ryan chose a dead rose during the challenge. Enough said.
Dead rose.
A dead rose.
I know. My room was filled with them.
Well, okay. And that was that. We don't judge, but anyway, it's cool.
Okay. Don't judge me. I have bad decor.
So Patrick, what would your confidence item be?
A confidence item, I normally for myself, it's a pen. On a general standpoint, that is what I use to, so that way wherever I'm out and about, if I don't have a pen, then I try to hold something. So if I'm on stage, for example, speaking, it's a clicker. Having a clicker, you know, so that way it's almost like, so I do this thing where it's like I'm pressing into it and it allows me to just kind of, it shifts my brain a little bit away from it. So that way, from a little bit away from everything that's going on, because then I can just keep pushing onto whatever it is I'm holding. I can't hold a stress ball because that'd be weird to hold a stress ball on stage or, you know, being in any kind of environment. But a pen, a clicker, is hard to tell if I'm actually pushing onto it, but I am going through that same process. So that's what it is for me. Usually it's a pen.
Nice. I find that hard to, like, because I hold a clicker as well, but I fiddle with it all the time, or I'd be clicking the pen. Do you know, I think it's impressive that you can hold it.
No, I flip it upside down. So normally the clicker, I'll be holding it this way.
Right. Yeah.
But if I'm on stage, I turn it around the other way. So that way I'm no longer able to click on anything and I can actually just do it this way.
Nice.
And then I'm ready, then I flip it back again, and then I go through my clicks.
Okay. And do you do the same with your pen? Do you turn, because I feel like
normally I won't be doing that because that would get annoying to people.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just holding the pen. That would be more if I'm in a formal setting. It's holding a pen. If I'm not in a formal setting, then I always like wearing a hat.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. It's a hat. It's I have some kind of a hat. See, this is my hat. No.
Yeah. Me too. Some kind of casual hat, really.
Yeah.
Casual, right?
Casual.
That's awesome.
I'm going down the HEB. It'll be fine.
We talk a lot about, we always come back to hats, but it's great.
Every time.
It really, it's like, it's, I don't know. It's, you feel like, you feel covered in a way, if that's what it is. It's just like, you're like, you know what? I'm in my own space. This is my cone of silence.
Mm. Yeah.
Sunglasses almost. Smart.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And what about yourself, Andy?
So I like cups. No, I do have my cup here, but I mean, this is it. I don't know if you guys can tell how large this cup is.
Yeah.
Here's my hand. It's a very large cup. So I mean, like, you know. So this is not the traditional, like, I don't go places with this cup.
Right.
But I noticed, like, you know, I don't know if you guys have this show, but I mean, you can do the hide. You can hide when you have a cup.
Right.
You can swish around when you have a cup. You can, you know, you can kind of have a thought-provoking comment when you have the cup. You know, but it's you know, I like my cups. I usually have like ice water or something. But once the cup is, you know, out of water, I just like swishing around. I like the feeling of the ice just swishing around. It just gives me, I don't know, just enough sensation that I can, you know, I can distract with it if I need to find a quick joke or a quick transition during a conversation when I'm looking for something else to talk about, or, you know, looking for, you know, a quick transition to, you know, switch to, you know, some other conversation that I need to have. You know, maybe I'm trying to, you know, quote unquote, make a friend as I'm doing a business deal, or, you know, quote unquote, maybe they're just talking too much and I'm just like, oh, you know what, I can use more water, transition period. Like, I use my cup in such a variety of ways, but I get to blame it on the cup. I don't have to blame it on the situation. And it's as minuscule as the cup is and seems like, it allows just enough transition for me to wiggle in and out of situations so you don't lose all flow. I mean, once things stop flowing for me during conversations, when I can get awkward and I'm just kind of like, I hate that part of sitting and waiting for the transition and kind of like you're playing jump rope, just trying to just wait for the breaking point where I can say, oh man, yeah, I'm out of water. And I was swishing around and, oh no, all of a sudden the other person, you know, their eyes are attracted to the cup and, oh, let me get you some water. And they come back and then we can get back on point. Right. Let's go back to how we need to get here, you know, because a lot of times, as much as I love people and I love talking, sometimes, you know, time, you have a time element or you know, you got to get stuff done or what have you. But like, you know, I feel like cups are, you know, and when I get really shy, sometimes it's just, you know, it's right here. And I get to hide behind my cup again and, you know, just hide away from the world. So that is my power source is my cup. Not like I said, not as big as this, but
I usually like something. A series of different mugs that got larger and larger.
Exactly. Until it gets like this big. I'm just like, here we go. I'm just drinking out of my. Maybe one day. But no, I used to, even when I had the formal desk when I was in LA, I had this tea maker where it was like, it was this, all right, so it would brew, right? It would be like something that was about this big, to be honest. But like, and then what you would do is there'd be like a cup. Actually, I have two cups here. Don't ask me why. All right, so this one would hold like all the tea, right? And you put the hot water and the tea in it and then brew in there. And then it had a little bottom little spout that connected right into the bottom portion. So when you put it over it, and pour into your glass. But I would do this like mid-meeting and just like do it with a straight face. And I have clients in front of me just like looking at it. And I'm just like still having directly talking right in their eyes and just watching them be memorized by the tea. And I'm just like, yep, I got you. But it'd be my own personal just like, you know, my own personal laugh that they didn't know they were in on the joke. But yes, it was ridiculous. And I knew I was being ridiculous, but I'm still making tea. And I, you know, because I talk all day, I kind of need the tea too. But yeah, you know, but it was fun. I had, you know, you had to keep it fun.
and it's rehydrating. What more?
Yes.
Yeah, true. Well, we talked with you before about, you know, kind of introversion and extroversion. And I think, you know, for those of us with more introverted energy, it's a great kind of prop to, to be able to just sort of go, and then you take a sit and it buys you time. It's a really nice kind of transition piece. And like you say, it's a good conversation piece as well.
Yeah, especially when you're going through things without like a formal step-by-step game plan. Sometimes the extra 3 seconds is all you need to say, okay, this is where we should go without seeming like you're pausing, stopping, or feeling unconfident.
Right.
And I think that can get you a lot of places. You know, when you have one conversation to kill something that, you know, you might not get a chance to talk to someone ever again. And, you know, when you're in LA doing this, it that happens. And you got to be on your best and you can't, you know, you can't have a bad day, can't an off day. You got to be ready, you know, so.
And that's the same in pretty much every single walk of life. I mean, there's always that moment when you're trying to sort of, if you're incorporating something like that, there's, you know, it's a way of transitioning you through into that next phase of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's helping you facilitate that. It's exactly the same on stage. You know, the reason we still talk about this is because, you know, we use props on stage all the time to kind of help us, you know, in the creation of an act. You know, there's any number of times when I've used or performers have used, you know, feather fans or anything like this, you know, to create and build acts. And the reason you do that is you're telling a story and that helps you facilitate that story. The moment the fan kind of opens or the moment the glitter is thrown, that's the moment you're kind of helping transition that person into the next part of it, the next part of the fantasy that you're giving them. You know, that fantasy is very much grounded in reality when we're doing, you know, something like this, you know. But on stage, it's the moment of glamour, you know, it's that moment of, you know, here you go, here's the electro shock that'll give you the moment that you need, you know. It helps you transition across in such a fluid way. Mm-hmm. It's really hard sense.
Because I never think about this stuff.
Right.
You know, in the sense of, you know, the confidence item that you get to work with or think, I can never thought about that, but it's just, it's interesting that you bring it up. It's like, yeah, that is how it kind of structures in my head and how I have to use something. I need something around me to get that. All right, now I am completely grounded. So if I'm not in my elements, this puts me back in my elements back again. So it's very interesting.
I would love to now, I love the idea of us now all having our different things. It's just me with a dead rose that's half broken walking around like, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you know, we do, we use a lot of the things are kind of, we design it to make us feel good, you know, whether it's bright colors or whether it's, you talked about a hat or you know, some way, you know, and it's different in different contexts, I think, too, because I use different things in business than I would in other places. And I know very early on when I started with cabaret, I can remember I was very much in the aerial world, and I can remember saying to Ryan, I can't do anything unless I have my aerial equipment. You know, I need a something to be so that they're paying attention to the thing, right? And the thing might be really small, but I need this thing, so you look at the thing, you know, as a distraction. And I can remember Ryan saying, well, that's what you're using your body for, like that's the piece, that's your tool. And I was that, you know, I'm much more comfortable with a boa or fans or something that's just like a prop rather than, you know, having ourselves, because it's very vulnerable to do that, you know. And so it doesn't surprise me that, you know, you kind of go, oh, well, I can hide behind my car, you know. But we do it in little micro ways.
Yeah.
The introvert comes out in weird ways, and I try to keep it as normal looking as possible, but it comes out, you know, it's just who I am.
I think the stuff that comes out that isn't normal is the best part of it, because that's always that's the bit that kind of really gives you that connection to that person. Do you know what I mean?
Is that's the man who chose a dead rose.
Just saying.
You must be familiar with Tim Horton. Tim Burton, not Horton.
Yeah, exactly. It's very that. It's very full fantasy of that. We were doing a live earlier today, and I started off the thing, and I was like, oh, that's great. It's a board filled with random French scratching and crucifixes all over a wall. Great. Looks like a very well-adjusted person right now.
It didn't at all. And it only got worse when I joined with Reindeer Antlers. It was the whole thing.
It does make us feel,
and that's why, you know, we've told you, we've played with musical instruments and we've had hats and we've done all kinds of things. Yeah. But it does make us feel like a different kind of persona almost.
It's like challenging that energy and channeling it through, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So let's do some quick fire questions. You don't have time to think about this. So Andy. Mm-hmm. If you were using a prop on stage as in a cabaret piece, so not your mug, what would you be using?
Probably a cane.
Oh,
that's what I was gonna say. I was like, I was ready for that. I've got that.
I coach a little baseball, and you know, if I'm just walking around or watching people stretch and things that I'm not, you know, specifically in, I always have a bat in my hand. I'm always twirling. You know, it's just that feeling of twirling. So I thought, if I'm on a cabaret stage, well, let's flip it and do a cane now. you get to lean on it. You get to kind of have a little look on it. You get to kind of twirl it around. So, you know, you get to point at people at it and, you know, give them the old, you know.
Definitely the cane. Definitely the cane.
Brilliant.
I love that.
I'm going to go with the cane.
Okay. I like the cane. I like the cane.
In that case, Patrick. Okay. Patrick, if you were to choose a drag name, what would it be and why?
What would be mine?
Yeah.
Oh, I never thought about this.
No.
See, the questions, things, the see, the wonders of Confidence to Cabaret.
Yeah.
So you've obviously heard lots of drag names
yes.
in kind of, you know, various ways. I mean, in RuPaul's Drag Race, it comes up, and we've talked about Dis as his name. I'm also Helen, which is a whole thing. I Helen back, which is a whole different thing. There's different characters that come out with that. What's your drag name?
Newton.
Newton.
Yeah.
I like this. Why Newton?
So Newton was a name that I picked. There were two names, Duke and Newton.
Okay.
They're the two names that I guess I called them my alter ego when I was a kid.
Right.
Okay.
I'm still always fascinated about science.
Right.
And hence the name Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
Was where the name really originally came from, but it was Newton just seemed like it was a last name, so I needed a first name.
Right.
So it was Duke Newton.
Duke Newton. Oh, okay.
Amazing.
Duke Newton. That was
something that it was just an alter ego. It's like I had emails back then with that. I actually drew like a tag version of what it would look like if that name was tagged somewhere. Oh, and before we get done, I would draw it on paper so you guys can see, because it's actually good.
I'm excited. That would be... This is it now. This is the first step into cabaret land. This is how it happens. You've got the cane, you've got the name, it starts here.
There we go.
I love that though. Do you know what I find really interesting is when we asked you that, you went, oh, I've never really thought about that. That wasn't true.
And that's why, because I've had that, but I didn't think about it from now. So it was a persona that I had in my head.
Right.
But I just haven't activated that in such a long time. So right. That's why. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So love I have to think about that.
Yeah.
Love that. Right, so Andy, we have another question for you, but now we've started this conversation and we've told you all of our names. What would yours be?
I'm so glad you asked. I was like, we've got to ask.
that's good. I mean, can I call myself Vanessa? Does that make sense?
Yes. Please do.
I feel like all the Vanessas I've met were really, really nice people.
They're always cool people, huh?
And I've never met a bad one, and they've always just put me in a state of peace. So I'm gonna say Vanessa.
I love that. Here's me, discharge. You want peace? I'm like, let's disrupt.
Yeah, I want to go the complete opposite. I'm going to go there. Yeah.
I like that.
Vanessa. Okay. That's very cool. Patrick's writing that down.
Writing it down.
Yeah. Because I sort of feel like there's a double act because Patrick was going to say Kane as well. So I feel like we could do Kane and...
Can you guys see that?
Wow.
Oh, wow. That is Duke.
Oh
my God. So when I initially had this in mind, this is what I thought Duke looked like. If there was a persona drawing or writing of the name, I mean, this is kind of in reverse probably on your screen right now.
No, it's in the right way around on mine. It's right.
Oh, is it correct on your screen?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so perfect. This is Duke.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. That was something
the brand already. Always... Okay. We're doing it. It begins.
Yes, there can be a double act. I feel with the cane, right?
Yeah, with the cane and everything. Right.
Okay, so next question, Andy, then. What's your cabaret music?
Can I go with jazz? Is that too open?
You can have anything you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like cabaret needs jazz. Lots of horns, lots of. You know, very New Orleans-y, very, that's what, when I think of cabaret, I think of that. I think of, very French, colorful, with a Southern twist to it.
Right.
So, that's what I see in my head when I think cabaret. So, there you go.
Love that.
Say jazz band.
Any particular tune that comes to mind, or just in general?
Is this Patrick? I'm sorry.
Andy, have you got a particular tune in mind, or just generally that kind
big,
of
big? I just hear big horns, big loud horns and trumpets, like very like Southern Wynton Marsalis type. Ooh. So like the Harlem meets like the you know the big band Southern sound.
Nice.
You got you can almost make it very anthemish with maybe some like hard clicks on the pavement when you're just hitting, you know, those hard bass notes. I don't know, that's what I hear.
Oh, I'm fully on board.
I'm totally in it. I'm like, okay, and you've got the cane and you can smack
yes.
It.
Yes. Oh. You can make the cane sounds and get a little extra beat to it, like all the above right there.
Thanks. For sure. It's amazing.
And Patrick, you have to answer that. You have to. That will actually be. That's fully the question.
Mine isn't. It's not a. It's not even relax. Mine is dubstep.
There is nothing wrong with that.
No.
On my end, it's so when I need to relax and think and you know stuff like that, I like to have like a lo-fi, like super low-key hip hop, like just really subtle beats.
Right.
However, if Duke was going to be the one responding to that, mm-hmm. that would piss him off. So
yeah. He wants that boom moment.
So it's a little bit more louder than that. It's a lot more like the dubstep. I didn't even know dubstep existed when this name came up, and then when the dubstep became a thing, then I was like, oh, this is totally that personality for it.
So you're talking to two people from Bristol, the home of dubstep. We were literally the home of dubstep. It was trip hop and dubstep were the two.
Yeah, trip hop was big. A big one.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, I'm excited.
Oh, this is fun. We're creating a whole act now. This is
awesome.
Exactly. So the next question should probably be, when you start the cabaret at 7 p.m. this Thursday, are you going to be ready?
And surprise, we have your music all queued up.
We turn up at your doors inexplicably. We're late. We're late. Smoking an entire pack of Marlboros. We're late.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us today. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the cast.
Oh, no worries. This was really fun. I had a blast. I love going out of my element especially some people that are really, really fun doing some really great stuff.
Yeah. This is too much fun. I love this.
Thank you.
It is too much fun. So where can we find you? How does our community find you?
Andy. For myself, I mean, you can find me personally at Andy O's Stream, and I'm at Twitter. I'm mostly on Twitter with that. The YouTube's not up because all my SEO is getting done with that, and they're putting all the special words and phrases in there. Nice. But if you guys want to talk to me directly, DM me. The Insta and the Twitter are the go-tos for me.
Nice. Thank you.
And for myself,
He's gone now.
I was switching back to personality.
Like,
you know,
Duke will be at the thing at 7.
I had to let go of Duke so I can come back to Patrick again for a second.
Right.
No, as far as myself, I would say definitely Instagram would be my ground. Instagram and Facebook, those would be my playground that I would easily get connected with. But you know, something more so stronger for both myself and Andy right now would be the DT community on Facebook. So we have the Digital Technopreneur Community for Online Creators would be the Facebook name. Someone else try to create. Yeah, we'll let them go.
No. Yeah.
But there's only when you research that on Facebook, you'll find us Digital Technopreneur. Which is sort of like techno and entrepreneur without the entre part. So it's just technopreneur community. And that's where they'll easily find both of us at the same time. That would be the community where to find both of us. And send us a message. Come in. Hello.
Yes. And you're live.
We're live every week. That is correct.
Live and direct.
Yeah. And every week we're fully launched, right?
Yeah.
22nd. So yeah, we're going fully launch 22nd. We're gonna have a Christmas episode. Be on the lookout for that.
Ooh.
Yes. We're gonna drop some hints to some special guests. Wink, wink.
Two people here in front of us. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. No, but look out for the Christmas episode, the 22nd, full launch. And just a whirlwind of new and bigger, better guests. Not better, but like bigger. You know what I mean by that? More guests. More guests. More mediums. More guests.
Starring Duke Newton and Vanessa.
Yeah, right? We're going to have, you know, we want to add to the community so there's more resources for people doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, and now we're, I mean, we just talked to a biochemist today. Oh my goodness. Oh, cool. He's trying to save the world with some CO2 gas kelp exercises. So, I mean, we talked to a whirlwind people and we're just so, honestly, I'm so excited to just be working with Patrick. We got a whirlwind of stuff on the plate going on for the next couple of weeks.
Lots of good stuff coming up on that regards, definitely. Yes. And
where do we find your podcast?
The podcast will be live and going through Spotify, Apple. It's not live yet. It will go live on the 22nd. Yeah. But yes, they'll be able to find us wherever they find their podcast. It will be there. We're going full on every media outlets that we can find ourselves with where we're in it.
Brilliant. And it's also Digital Technopreneur?
That is correct.
Okay. Right. We'll put all the links in the group.
Yeah.
We'll put all those,
And thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on board. Thank you. And yeah, as Hannah says, we'll put everything into the chat absolutely afterwards and everything will all be in there. So you can see, you can join Patrick and Andy on the Digital Technopreneur podcast. And you can see all of their amazing projects, hook up with them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Thank you so much, everybody. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Heather.
And this is Confidence Through Cabaret, reminding yourself that it's your body. Your world. Your stage.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Take care. Thanks for having us.